It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, glad you could be here as we learn about the cold hardiness of the cranberry crop amid climate change and the difficult decisions growers encounter in winter. Cranberries are native to our state, and the fruit crops have adapted to harsh winters. Call in with your questions about the cranberry growing season and how to protect the plants. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Amaya Atucha is an associate professor and extension fruit crop production specialist in UW-Madison's horticulture department. She's the Gottschalk Endowed Chair for Cranberry Research. Amaya, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hi, so at the Wisconsin Cranberry Research Station in Black River Falls, you're studying the cold hardiness of cranberries. What are you learning about the plants?
Well, this has been a very interesting study. When I arrived here in Wisconsin about, 2014, 2015, this was a problem that growers were already, talking about and were interested in for some help. We're looking for some help, and I thought that there was a great opportunity to do some cool research. What's happened is with climate change, we all have noticed that we ended up having sort of like warmer falls sometimes, or very erratic patterns of cold temperatures. Sometimes, like for example, it has been pretty warm in the previous weeks, now it's getting cold again, and so we have this inconsistent cold. We used to be sort of the norm before during the falls and the winters here in Wisconsin. This really affects the way cranberries are protected. And you mentioned that cranberries are native from, Wisconsin and other areas in the northeast of the United States, and they're adapted to cold. However, they're not adapted to these really changes of warm temperature, cold temperature, warm temperature, cold temperature. And what the growers are trying to do is to protect those little buds that are set in the fall and carry the flowers inside very compressed that will bloom in the spring and produce the fruit in the summer. So if those buds are not protected from the cold and the changes in temperature, they will have damage and they are not going to produce any flowers, and thus there will be no fruit. And so what the growers do is they flood those beds that we're so familiar to seeing those commercials that there are those berries floating, and they actually make a layer of ice when the temperature is really cold in December. All of that water becomes ice, and those vines are encapsulated in ice, and this ice is like a blanket that covers those buds, and they protect them from the freezing conditions in the winter, but also from that wind and the desiccation of that wind. However, when it gets...
I was going to ask, when do growers know to put down a blanket of water, if you will? When do they know to flood their fields to protect the crop?
Well, they look at the weather forecast, and if they see the opportunity that they can flood the beds and make what they call to make ice, they will go ahead and do it. And sometimes it might take multiple tries to be able to make a thick enough layer of ice to protect them. But the problem is when it gets warm and the layer melts and the vines are exposed to the cold temperature again. And so those are some of the problems that they have, and they wanted to know how cold hardy their vines were, how cold hardy those buds were, so that they could know in anticipation when they had to flood and if they had to reflood, because all of this stresses the plant. So you don't want to be doing it over and over and over again.
Talking about the cold hardiness of cranberries and the research underway with UW-Madison's Amaya Atucha, Extension Fruit Crop Production Specialist in the Department of Horticulture, you can join in on cranberries and what you think of the crop, the production cycle, and what happens in the winter months. 800-642-1234. Amaya, does the cranberry itself have some protection measures built into its chemistry and how it's, how the fruit is?
Almost all the plants that we grow in our climate, in this what we call the temperate climate, they do have adaptations to cold. What happens is during the fall, these plants will adapt and go through a process that we call acclimation to cold. And so there's multiple changes that happen in the plant, whether they're physical changes or biochemical changes that help them gain the capacity of withstanding the cold conditions and basically avoid the formation of ice inside their tissues. When ice forms inside the tissue is when the tissue it's a rupture because of ice crystals and it's not able to recover. And then we see the death of this tissue and we have no flowers in this case. So the plants adapt. The problem and what we set up to do is try to figure out how to measure this. And cranberries are a wonderful crop, but they're also very understudied and very difficult to study. So for many, many years, a team of us, because obviously this is not only me, but my former PhD student, Dr. Camila Villota, and a scientist in my lab, Dr. Beth Ann Workmaster, we work trying to figure out how to measure this system, how to measure when they were getting cold hardiness, gaining this cold hardiness, or losing this cold hardiness in the spring. And so we set up to do that, and we were able to discover the mechanisms that the buds use and figure out a way to measure it, which for us was the most important thing, because if we can't track it, we were not able to provide information to the growers.
What about sanding bogs? What about what protections come from pouring sand into the cranberry fields?
Well, actually, the sanding has nothing to do with protecting them for the winter. What the sanding has, which is a very interesting practice, actually, it's just so unique of cranberries. I've never heard of any other crop that has this practice. But what the sanding does is that when this ice melts, because they sand over the ice, when the ice melts, the sand will deposit on the base of the plant growth area around the collar. And what it does is it buries old tissue and it helps the plant rejuvenate and produce new shoots with new flowers and new fruit.
It helps with rooting.
And it helps suppress some diseases that might be there or some insects. So it's and also some of the weeds. So it's a wonderful practice that happens during the winter, but really has no relation to protection to cold hardiness.
You mentioned weeds. With climate change, are invasive weeds an issue in the cranberry bogs?
Well, I think that that's the case with almost all of the crops. I think that climate change definitely changes the composition of the weeds that we see. It might take a little bit of a longer time than the kind of more immediate effect that we see of changes in temperature with the crop itself and the management that we do to be able to have a crop and produce fruit.
So with the fluctuations in temperature going from, 10 below to 40 above and how detrimental that can be to a sensitive cranberry crop, have you talked with growers who have lost crops due to radical temperature swings?
Yeah, we do actually interact a lot with our growers. Of course, as extension people, we work with them very closely and we survey and ask these kind of questions. And we usually get a response saying, yes, we did see, maybe 10 or 20% in some years losses of fruit because of what we anticipate is cold damage. And sometimes the cold is not only expressed as loss of yield immediately, but the plant also gets, damaged. They lose their leaves because they've been exposed to these freezing temperatures. They were not fully adapted or acclimated to the cold. And that loss of the foliage eventually will also affect following years of crop. So it's, you have an effect on the immediate growing season or production, but then those effects can carry over because the damage accumulates over time on the plants.
We have UW-Madison fruit crop extension specialist Amaya Atucha with us on our research modeling that aims to protect the cranberry crop from winter temperature extremes and those fluctuations. Colin, with your questions about growing cranberries, what makes cranberries special? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about the cold tolerance of Wisconsin's cranberry crop and the latest research on how to protect vines and buds from temperatures and adapt to climate change. Call in about cranberry bogs in winter months, what you wonder in harvesting this fruit crop, 800-642-1234. Amaya Atucha is a UW-Madison fruit crop specialist and associate professor in the horticulture department. Stays with us. Amaya, you received this specialty crop block grant from the USDA last year, and you've been talking about the modeling work, the prediction modeling work underway. How do you see growers then applying your prediction models in their everyday, daily work in managing their cranberry operation? I mean, essentially, how do you take the research and apply it to the daily operation?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Yes, we were very fortunate to receive some funds to continue doing this work. And again, you know, this is always a team effort. So this is a project in collaboration with one of my colleagues here at UW-Madison, Dr. Al Kowaleski, and his lab. It's the Lab of Plant Resilience Lab in the Department of Horticulture. And he is an expert also in cold hardiness and modeling. So a lot of the work that we're doing together to be able to provide these tools to the growers. So I explained before how we had done this research trying to investigate what were the mechanisms that the plants were using and try to figure out a technique to be able to evaluate cold hardiness at different points during the winter and inform the growers about what they could do. However, these type of techniques are very, very, very time consuming and require specialized equipment. So what that means is that you need to do this kind of test in a lab. And so it's very complicated to pass on that type of information and techniques to the growers that so that they could do their own monitoring of cold hardiness. And not only it requires specialized equipment, but because it's so time consuming, it only allowed us to be able to sample plant material from one site, maybe two sites every other week, because the process of evaluating the cold hardiness would take over 10 days. So that is, something that you can only do in the lab. Mm-hmm. So we set up to think about, well, what can we do now that we have this knowledge? How can we make it practical to the growers? And I also work on other crops, and one of them is grapes. And grapes have a different technique or a different process of resistant cold temperatures and gaining cold hardiness, which is much easier to be able to collect information. And once you collect enough information, you can start modeling the responses of plants to temperature, because basically that's the main driver of the cold hardiness. And so we had developed a model for predicting cold hardiness in grapes, and we're like, well, we'll do the same for cranberries. And that's where that project came about, and we are right now actively working on it. Dr. Michael North is a postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Horticulture that is leading this effort. And so we are out there collecting a lot more plant material and testing it and collecting a lot of data so we can have a model. And so the way that the model will work once we, get to that point would be that the growers would be able to use their own weather station. Almost every marsh will have a weather station to monitor weather conditions and to inform the grower about, want to make production decisions, whether it's to irrigate or maybe use some agrochemicals that they need. And so they need this kind of weather data. And so if they already have it, the ideal thing would be to have this prediction model in which with the weather forecast, it would be able to tell the growers what is the probability of a bud experiencing damage given the weather forecast. And wow. That would allow the grower to be able to make a decision whether to flood or protect in another way the vines.
And my guess that alert would be coming to their phones any time of day. They could see the weather situation in their immediate area on their fields.
Yeah, also, well, growers will monitor weather conditions. So, growers every day get up and they will just look at their weather forecast, look at what the day is like, because as I said, most of the management decisions that they do are based on what the weather conditions are going to be. So they could go into, we have multiple platforms in which other models for crop production are hosted. And so they can go and just run the model and look at what the model is recommending. And so that is our vision for this kind of model. And as I said, we've done something similar with grapes that has worked great. And we are trying to get growers to use that model. And so we anticipate that this would be something very similar for the cranberry growers here in Wisconsin, and a much needed tool, because they've, been requesting and asking for something like this for a very long time. But, research takes a long time and it's sometimes difficult.
You can't
to be
just
able
snap
to
your
find...
fingers and
exactly. I mean, if we could, we would solve all the problems. But moving something that you've developed in the lab to an application to the grower, which is our ultimate goal, is, you know, find solutions to the growers. But many times we need to go back to try to understand the very basic, in this case, of how plants work. Mm-hmm. How, what are the mechanisms that plant, and once we're able to identify those, create techniques to be able to measure that specific phenomenon, and then, you know, be able to incorporate, and this is where I say it's a teamwork, because I'm a plant physiologist, I'm not a modelist, so incorporate other colleagues that are able to use their, you know, their skills in other areas to be able to develop, you know, mathematicals and forecast models that we can afterwards use.
Takes a research village. Well, let's take a call now. Kyle in Sturgeon Bay. Kyle, hi.
Morning. I was just curious. I don't know very much about cranberry bogs or the cranberry plants, but I do know that surface runoff is often an issue for excess nutrients and whatnot. And I was just curious if there are any sort of challenges with the cranberries as far as that goes, like phosphorus or nitrogen or anything being in excess to the system.
Kyle, thank you. With cranberries using that abundance of water to manage the fields, Amaya, what is the impact of runoff?
Well, actually, there's very little runoff on cranberry beds. And the reason why is because cranberry beds are perfectly level. That's one thing. So there's no runoff. There's not loss of soil particles from those cranberry bed production. In addition, one difference with cranberries is that the cranberry vines completely cover the surface of the soil. You don't see the soil. It's completely covered with plant biomass. And that, again, really protects from, you know, the irrigation and also the heavy precipitation, because the water is able to infiltrate without hitting directly the soil and moving those particles of soil that would have things like phosphorus that eventually could contaminate water, surface water. The other thing that is very unique about cranberries, and again, this brings back the fact that cranberries are native from Wisconsin, is that the cranberries have a soil that is very, very rich on what we call organic matter. And organic matter is basically plant material that has decomposed over time. And the beauty of organic matter is that organic matter is able to hold nutrients and avoid the leaching of those nutrients into water sources, whether it's surface water or groundwater. So when we use fertilizers to grow cranberries, we don't need a lot of fertilizer because the soil is very rich, and that soil only becomes higher in content of organic matter because what I just previously explained, that was the question about the sanding. Mm-hmm. Every time we sand, we bury plant material that ends up being organic matter, and that organic matter releases nutrients over time for that plant to continue to grow. So the cranberry bogs basically are sort of like a little filtering sponge and do have a really important role in the ecosystem because they are able to use water that sometimes comes from nutrients from adjacent crops that are heavily fertilized. And that water, once it gets into the cranberry beds with all that organic matter, gets clean because of that. And cranberries, even though it uses a lot of water, cranberries don't use a lot of fertilizer. And because of the system that I just explained, you know, there's very little probability that there's a lot of contamination that is coming from those cranberry marshes.
Kyle, thank you for the question. With we have UW-Madison's Amaya Atucha. Let's bring in Tom in Madison. Tom, hi.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for the program. I was just wondering, are there any original bogs where the original plants, are they located? And how has hybridization of cranberries, has that increased the, or, you know, the vitamin content, the healthier of cranberries, or the opposite?
Tom, thank you. A question about the oldest bogs and hybridization. We have less than a minute, Amaya, so go ahead.
So there are cranberry beds that are very, very old. If the plant is healthy, it can basically live forever. I know that there's some beds that are over 80 to 100 years old somewhere, maybe Absolutely not the most productive ones, because we have new varieties of cranberries that are much more productive, and also that they have, you know, bigger fruit, so commercially are much more attractive than keeping those old varieties that were selected from the wild. And so, yes, there are some that are very old here in the state. And again, if you take care of them, that those vines will continue to live for a very long time. What happens is the majority of the time they take them out because they want to change the variety of cranberries that they're growing. Mm-hmm. So regarding hibernation, if I understood the question well, is if this affect at all the fruit quality? Not really. It has nothing to do. The quality of the fruit and the content of vitamins that fruit is going to have a lot to do with the genetics of the plant, but also with the weather conditions that the berry, as it develops, will experience during the summer months.
Amaya, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Amaya Tucha, Associate Professor and Extension Fruit Crop Production Specialist at UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.